Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Thank you guys for having us. Can y'all hear me okay? Awesome, okay. It's been a while since I've been to college. I know, doesn't look that way. Just kidding, y'all are my fans, they're here. This group right now, I'm just kidding. My name's Elisa, I actually work at Richland Library. Any fans of Richland Library? Yay! Nerds in the house. but before that, I was actually a teacher for 7 years in Title I schools, and Title I schools are just targeted to receive funding from the government based on the needs of that community. And so I actually grew up here in Columbia, and our father was a church planter for Hispanics in the community. And so other than that, I mostly grew up in a pretty sheltered environment and didn't really know much about the outside world. I'm sure many of you can probably relate, until I did kind of step outside and teach and learn about the real world. But other than that, you know, I did a couple of tours in Guatemala, where I ministered there. And before that, I lived in Berlin, and my eyes just were like, wow, God is doing things out there. God is doing things outside of my home, my neighborhood, my school. And am I part of that? Is who I am part of his mission? Is who I am fitting in that? Or is who I am impeding that? And honestly, it wasn't until after I graduated college and did those things that I thought, oh my gosh, I think who I am, who I grew up as a Hispanic, as a predominantly kind of white area, I think who I am was impeding what God's ministry was supposed to be. And I'm gonna challenge you guys to think about that, because I know that's kind of like, what are you talking about? What I wanna challenge you guys to today is think about where you grew up. Think about what language you speak. Think about what neighborhood you grew up in, what your parents taught you. Sometimes those things are good, and God uses those things. Sometimes they're not that great, and God uses that too. But at this very moment is who you are, at this very moment is who you are working against you or working for you and working for God's ministry. It's a lot to be like, to just think about, but I want to just plant that seed for y'all in a little bit, and I'm gonna kind of explain. I'm gonna cheat today. I'm just gonna explain really quickly who this is. This is Tony Evans. Anybody fans of Tony Evans? Yeah, Tony Evans. I'm actually in a book club, this is one of his books that he wrote during the Obama administration called Oneness Embraced. And Tony Evans is an African-American reverend who has, I think he was a chaplain in Dallas Cowboys, and he's toured all over the world, and he explains how his culture has impeded him but also enriched his life in Christ. And so it really just kind of woke me up and thought, wow, you know, that's something I might want to share today. So Tony Evans really wants us to understand one thing. Is your culture more important than God's culture? Is who you are, the team you love, where you like to shop, the music you listen to, is that gonna impede you when God asks you of something? So one of the things he says is, do we refer ourselves to a black Christian or a white Christian or Hispanic Christian? I know it's Hispanic Heritage Month, but do I, Elisa, consider myself a Hispanic Christian? And the answer is no, I don't. He says, we sometimes refer ourselves as black Christian or white Christian or Hispanic Christian or Asian Christian. This is technically incorrect. In these descriptions, the word Christian becomes a noun and is modified by an adjective, black, white, and so on. However, our Christianity should modify our culture. We must see ourselves as Christian blacks, Christian whites, Christian Hispanics, or Christian Asians. Our cultures must always be controlled by our commitment to Christ. Whatever we make the adjectives black, white, brown, and yellow descriptive of Christians, it may mean we have changed Christianity to make it fit a cultural description. The Bible teaches the opposite. We are Christians who are also white, who happen to be white, brown, or yellow, or black. If anything changes, it is to be our cultural orientation, not our Christianity. This is so because cultural history and experience, while important, are not innately inspired. Therefore, Christianity must always inform, explain, and if necessary, change our very culture, never the reverse. I know that's a lot to take in. But is who you are now, is that reflective of who God wants you to be? Or of what your friends around you, or maybe who you would like to be in the future? Does that have more control over your faith? What does culture do to enhance or take away from God's efforts? Does my view of myself interfere with God's view? I have a pretty diverse group of people that I work with, and we actually last year hired someone who owned an Indian restaurant. So yes, she used to bring like a lot of Indian food, and it was so amazing. And then I decided to talk about, oh yeah, you know, the Indian food actually has a lot to do with Hispanic culture, spiciness and the savoriness. And one of my other coworkers, who happened to be African American, he said, wow, that must be nice to have a heritage to talk about. Honestly, I just never thought about it that way. I was so proud of my culture, so proud of speaking of it that way, but when I thought about it, was that pride impeding me to relate to other cultures? When I was in high school, I had a little boyfriend, and I would bring him to my church, and he is from Hopkins, South Carolina. He was, you know, just like rural South Carolina, okay? I was probably the most like non-white person he's ever seen. And I brought him over to, I think, our little fall festival one time. And I gave him a bag because I wanted to kind of like thrust him into our world a little bit. And I gave him a bag of candy and I said, hey kids, candy's over here. And there was like 50 children, brown little kids, running up to this white guy. And he had never seen this before. And he was like, ah. In 2 years, he actually went to Africa and, you know, did ministry, so I helped that. I'm just kidding. I don't know. But that just kind of made me realize, like, whoa, his culture almost kept him from coming to church because he just didn't want to feel different. And he talked to me about that, and I told him, well, this is my normal life. This is, you know, I see this all the time, and I'm glad that you can enjoy this with me. But think about it. If he had never come that day, would he have maybe stepped out of his comfort zone again and maybe gone to Africa and, you know, done, you know, missions and whatever? So that's something I'd like for you to challenge you is, how important is your culture? It does impede with God's vision for you. In my ministry, I've had the privilege to travel to many different types of churches all over the world, and, you know, some, of course, are multicultural. And Tony Evans said something that really struck me. He said, churches, especially in America, are limited in the scope of their impact because they fail to comprehend that the goal of the church is not the church itself, but the kingdom. Do you go to a church? Do you have friends that invite others? What does your group of friends look like? Is it inviting? What does your feed on Instagram look like? Is it inviting? Does it look kind of the same? Is that what God's kingdom looks like? No. I went to a Urbana conference. Gosh, it was 2006, I guess. Has anyone here been to Urbana conference? It's a multicultural conference. It used to be Urbana, Illinois, but it's in St. Louis now. And I don't know what they're doing during COVID, but people come from all over the world. And I've never seen so many different people, different cultures from all over the world sing together as one. And I thought, this is what I want. This is really heaven. Someone from Africa here, someone from Asia here, someone from the Arabian countries over here, we're all singing together as one. But my life does not reflect that. And I thought, I need to change that. I need to open up my view. God, help me. I want to give you two examples in the Bible of where culture helped and culture was impeded. So in Acts 10, 11 through 29, you guys are welcome to bookmark that in your Bibles, Acts 10, 11 through 29. Peter was actually obviously one of the apostles of Jesus. And he was working with the Gentiles. Now, as you know, that's a whole other race, a whole other culture, a whole other language. And Peter was doing great a job of ministering to those Gentiles. But people from his side in the Jewish section said, nah, minister to us first. Why are you, putting concentration on the Gentiles? And he actually left that ministry with the Gentiles because of that peer pressure. So that was a time when his culture actually impeded him in getting across to the Gentiles. And Paul spoke out to him about his hypocrisy in Galatians 2:13 and said, they put Peter on the spot, telling him to either hand his plate back to the Gentile Christians and walk away or stay over there on his own. Peter walked away, leaving the Gentiles. Scripture tells us that even Barnabas, the encourager, was caused to stumble. That's how bad the sin of racial prejudice can be. It will make good men, like Barnabas, who was known for encouraging others, bad. A mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. Wow. An example of where culture was a good thing, which is where we need to be reflective of, what our lives need to reflect, is when Jesus went to Samaria and his disciples went into town to find food. And he specifically said, do not come with me, you guys go. And as we know, the Samaritans and the Jewish people in that day did not get along. They disagreed on a lot of things. They both, however, agreed on one thing. They agreed that Jacob was their father. And they had a well in Samaria where Jesus stopped, as you know, met the Samaritan woman. So instead of Jesus bypassing that nation altogether, he went and found a common ground, which was Jacob's well. And as you know, the story goes, he talked to the Samaritan woman, and she was, understood that he was a prophet, and she went and told her people and spread the news that way. Are we Peter, or who we are so in our little circle of culture that we can't let anybody else in? Or are we Jesus, who we use our culture and find a stepping common ground with other cultures to reach others? So I love that, your college is called Columbia International University. When you leave here, you have an international kind of mindset to reach others. So John 13:55 says, how will people know that you are Christian? Is it by a Christian flag that you wear, or is it by your party that you vote for? Is it by the school you go to? Is it by your parents who go to church every Sunday? Is it by your Facebook, Instagram feed, whatever? No, God says, By this, by the love you have for others, all men will know that you are my disciples. And in John 17, 21, we get that culture should not infringe upon the word of God. We are free to be what God has created us to be with all the uniqueness that accompanies our cultural heritage. Can God take you right this second from your safety of your college, of your home, and take you somewhere else? Maybe with a group of people that have nothing to do with you. How will you react? Can you talk to someone? Can you relate to someone? If he grabbed you right now and put you in a whole other group of people that had looked nothing like you or don't even speak your language, will you show God's love to them? Are you ready for that? If the answer is no, that's okay. You're being convicted right now, and I invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you where in your life you're being limited. If there's a group of friends that are encouraging you to not act a way that God has called you to be, maybe God is convicting you right now to drop that group of friends. Maybe God is telling you, you need to switch your major. Maybe God is telling you, you need to learn this language. Maybe God is telling you, you need to go to that side of the neighborhood and be a light. Or maybe God is telling you, you need to be quiet and listen to me. I'm not sure what it is for you today, but I hope that with the message that this university brings to you, which is international university, not a Columbia-based Bible college as it used to be, that God makes you someone he could put anywhere and that you will be that light. We are God's people, his church, and I believe today that we are more deeply divided than when I was growing up. And maybe we were before, and I just didn't know. But that's why Jesus prayed that his believers might be one in order to overcome the world. Do you feel like you are one with the person sitting next to you, sister, a brother? And I'll leave you guys with this verse, Philippians 3:20. It says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. All things being America, that'll be gone. English, that'll be gone. Our racial constructs, that will be gone. Our heritage, that'll be gone. Why? Because we don't belong to any of that. When you became Christian, or when you do become Christian, that will mean nothing. And it's a good thing, because we will all have citizenship in the kingdom of God. That is your goal. That is where you are living. Everything that you're doing now should reflect that goal. And if it's not, there are some things we need to change. And that's okay, you're young. You can do it. We must view humanity through the lens of Scripture, seeing each other as well as ourselves as God sees us. So I'm not sure what God is telling you today. I know for me, it lets me know, yeah, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month. Woo! I am proud of being Hispanic, I am, but I'm more proud and more happy that God has chosen me and I'm his daughter and I can share my culture with others, and my culture being Christianity. That is my culture. So let's bow our heads together and pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here today. Father, there are so many different things going on in the world, and everyone is having a different reaction. And that's where, Father, we need to be unified. We need to be unified in the way that we react to the things that are going on in the world, for we are not of this world. We're simply living in it, Lord. Help us, Father, to remain focused on our kingdom where we have citizenship, Lord. Thank you, Father. And I ask that anyone who's hearing here today who does not have that citizenship, Lord, is encouraged, Father, to know that if they don't have a heritage, if they're not proud of their culture, if they don't feel that love that should be there, Lord, that one day it will be so. We will be celebrating together. All nations will come to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elisa and Jasmine. Let's give them a round of applause. We appreciate you. Thank you for the word and worship today.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.